summary, second period. The second period, he's including the period from the expulsion from Spain until the massacres of the Chomsky massacres, Gzeot Tach, in the 17th century. So let's read his summary. That will sort of remind ourselves of what we did last time. This particular period, from the beginning, from the end of the 15th century until the middle of the 17th century, was a period of extremely radical development in the halakha in many, many different areas. Many things that we take for granted today were actually inventions of that period, such as Mechirat Chametz, for example, which didn't really exist in a serious form prior to that period. It came into existence because the Jews in Eastern Europe went into the liquor business in a major way, and therefore it became necessary to find some way of not having to destroy all of your goods on Pesach. Many of the laws of Tereshvot became radically changed during that period. Well, the laws of Ribit, basically, the Heter Iska was something which was basically invented during that period, and then the laws of Ribit, all of the laws of Chosh and Mishpat were radically changed. The invention of the Mamarna, that is the form of bills of exchange, is the checks and things like that, is basically a Jewish invention from that period. All of these things are radical changes in all aspects of the law. Because, and the people, the various Jewish communities during this whole period were extremely innovative. Okay? But as far as our problem is concerned, he writes, in Minhag L'Kadesh Rak B'Shat HaKupah Pashat B'Tkufah Zu Gam L'Yartzot HaDarom V'HaMizrach U'Musar HaShiduchim Kavash Barov HaRatzot Et M'Mekom HaMshal HaErusim. The idea of an engagement replaced...
Could you tell me? I think I'm missing the front pages. Yeah, I start with Shemim Chet.
You do?
You probably have it backwards. Probably bound backwards.
No, all right, I don't know. I don't have any more copies with me right now. But later I'll bring it next time.
Okay.
Yeah. Raise your pet should be the first
question.
You have to, is there something missing from you?
No, it just starts on Shemim Chet.
No, here it is. It starts, you've got Raisin there somewhere.
No, it's in...
Maybe next week.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, I'll just bring in another. I didn't realize the numbers of people change from time to time. So it's hard for me to predict.
Probably not George, the one that does this.
Okay. All right. Haminhag l'kadesh rak b'shat ha'chupah. Pashat b'tkufa zu gam li'artzot ha'darom v'ha'mizrach u'musad ha'shiduchim, the institution of engagement, kavash b'rov ha'artzot ha'makom shal rusin. עד שנכנסה בתקופה היא ערוביה במונחים המשפטיים ובלשון בני אדם קוראים למשודכת ארוסה. Even the language became confused, that is, the distinction between the word betrothed had an ambiguous meaning because it might have meant a woman who was merely engaged or it might have meant a woman who went through גירושים. דור הגירוש עמד בסימון חשש הסבלונות, חשש היה עלול לשים לאל את כל הישג שבין הנהגת השיוכין בלי זיקת אישות במקום הירוסים החימורים. They managed to eliminate the problems of wedding gifts. Hatakalot shel kedushei seter kedushei tamut hegia l'tkufa zu l'si shelo haya kamohu b'shum tkufa acher. On the other hand, the problems of secret marriages and fraudulent marriages reached the peak in this period, which did not happen at any other time. Hagirushim ha'hamoniyim v'anida hatzuma shel l'chsiyah. There were many expulsions and movements, huge movements of the population. They introduced the state of confusion into the private and family lives. The girls that suffered the most were the Sephardic girls. רשת התקנות נגד פרצות אלו הסתמפה בתקופה הנזכרת בכל תפוצות הגולה, מפס במערב עד ארם צובה במזרח, ומצרים בדרום עד פולין וליטה בצפון. בכמה ארצות תקנו ארגוני הקהילות תקנות לכל המדינה, כגון ארגון גירושי קסטיליה במערב, הוועד הכללי של הקלות איטליה בפרארה, הנגידים האחרונים במצרים, ועד המדינה בליטה, ועד אב הארצות בפולין. פעולה מחוקקת עשירה ביותר היו קהילות גט פרוגמה בכל רחבי המדינה, מקורפו ויד הזמיר, ונגעו בתקופה זו כ-20 תקנות שונות בעניין קידושים. התקנות נעשו בדמות תקנותם של הראשונים. במובן הגדול היו מכוון נגד קידושי סתר, against secret marriages, שלא לקדש אלא בעשרה בישראל. בסלוניקי התקינו שהעשרה אלו יהיו גדולים מבני יחד שנה. בטמפה כמה תקנות באה ההצהרה שלא לקדש אלא בשעת החופה, and so on. הרבה תקנות הטילו פיקוח ציבורי על סדר הקידושין, שלא לקדש אלא ברשות בית דין, או במעמד חכם, דיין או ראש ישיבה. בכמה מקומות הנהיגו לחזק את שלטון המשפחה, שלא לקדש אלא ברשות ההורים או הקרובים, כגון בתקנות פדווה, פרארה, קסאלי, קנדיה, סלוניקי. חיזוק התקנות נעשה כמעט בכל המדינות בגזירת חרב. מלבד זה מצינו גם אנשי גוף, מלכות וייסורים. תקנת הפקעת קידושין התקינו קהילות גירושי קסטיליה בפס, בכל קהילות ארתה. All sides and the witnesses. Okay. So the issue then being some of these communities actually engaged in nullification of the marriages. And the response of the rabbinical leaders of this period was mixed. Rabbim migdolei hador hu asku b'baya ha'ikronit ha'chashuva im yesh koach b'yad ha'tzibur la'afkia kidushim b'takanoteihem. Kama mechachmei hador hiskimu la'afkaat kidushim la'halacha ulema'asa im asu takana mufureshes la'afkia kidushim shenitnu neged takanat ha'tzibur. So many of the prominent authorities supported the power of the local communities to enact legislation which nullified marriages. Kigon, בעלי שלטי הגיבורים באיטליה, בעל סכן אחרון בקוסטה, קונסטנטינופול, הרב בנימין זאב ובעלי משטר שמואל בארתה, הרדך בקורפו ואחרים. דעת מרחיקי לכת ביותר הביאה רבי יעקב ברב, שדן אפילו בתקנת חרם סתמית להפקיע קידושים, דמלו כן מהו יהיו לחכמים. לדעה הזו מצטרף גם הרב אברהם מונסון בקוסטה, חכמים אחרים, ראשם הרב אלשקר, הלכו בשיטת ריבש להסכים לתקן הפקעה אם נמנו וגמרו כל הקהילות של מדינה או רובן ברבניה על הפקיעת המשך. אולם, חכמים אחרים חששו להראות להלכה למעשה בעניין הפקעת קידושים, מחמת חומר ישראל הערבה, אם כי הודו אף הם שלהלכה יש כוח ביד הציבור לתקן הפקעת קידושים, כמובן רבים עליהם ובאו כברות. חשיבה מיוחדת נודעת לעמדתו של הרב יוסף קארו, שהוראותיו נתקבלו על כל תבוצות ישראל. Since everybody accepted the authority of the Shulchan Aruch, his opinion was of primary importance. בספרו הגדול בית יוסף, הסתפק מרן זה למנות כרוך לו את דעות הראשונים והוביל להווה הדעת עצמו. On the place where the tour discusses the issue of possibility of an enactment of such legislation, remember the tour was going in with his father's opinion that you could do such, all that the Beit Yosef does is bring a list of the preceding opinions of the leading authorities without expressing his own opinion on the matter. Who may be at Shuvat HaRashbal, Tashanot, Mibli Lahakriya Beinehem, Bezifera Ben Yeruchim, HaRivash, HaRishim HaGuran, HaMarik. But as he points out, Chashuv L'tzayin HaMakarot Shelo Huva Beit Yosef. The Beit Yosef didn't bring all of the opinions that we studied here. Takanot Hagaonim Rav Hai V'Zikno, he didn't bring. Shuvat HaRosh HaMukureshet Al Vachat HaShim Mitoch Takanot Beitin. Bahalo HaRosh Hu Echad Mishloshet Amudei HaRosh Hu Kol Beit Yosef Nishan Aleha. The Beit Yosef maintained, after all, that his principal method of deciding a halakhic issue was to follow two out of the three authorities. That is, he would look at the Rosh, the Rambam, and the Rif. And if two out of the three agreed, he would normally abide by that majority opinion. Yet, in this particular matter, he doesn't bring the opinion of the Rosh at all. שירותיו המפורטות של התשפץ, ויחדיו רבו הרי בירב, לא נזכר בספרו הגדול שיצא בתחוס בתנת שנים גימו. כדי שנה אחרי פטירת רבו. Even the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov בירב, who was strongly in favor of הפקת קדושים, he did not bring. So for some reason or other, the Beit Yosef in his commentary on the tour doesn't bring any opinion, doesn't decide himself, and doesn't bring many of the opinions who were in favor of Hakad Kiddushin. But when you come to the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't even mention the problem. The Sefer HaKatzar Shulchan Aruch lo naga Rav Yosef kal klal b'chal ha'sheila hazot. ומכאן נראה שהוא נמנע בכוונה מלהכריע בבעיה חמורה ועדינה זו שלא יצא עדיין מגדר תסיסה ומעשה מתן של הלכה ברטי מדרשן של חכמי הדור כשם שנמנע מנקות עמדה בחיבורו שבהלכה גם בשאלה אקטואלית אחרת שהסעירה ברוכות מסביבו שאלת חידוש הסמיכה. Remember the Rabbi Yaakov Beirav, the same Rabbi Yaakov Beirav who we studied last week on this issue of Hakdaat Kiddushin is most famous for having attempted to reinstitute the tradition of smicha so that they could reconstitute a Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. And this caused a huge ruckus amongst the leading rabbis, and there's not a shred of mention of this great storm either in the Shulchan Aruch. So on these two issues, the Shulchan Aruch ducks. He just doesn't take a position one way or the other. It's interesting that on this particular section of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah does seem to take a negative position. Here, Freiman doesn't bring this, but here's the position of the Ramah. Kahal. Kahal shetiknu. Yasu haskama b'nehem. שכל מי שיקדש בלא עשרה או כיוצא בזה ויעבר אחד וקידש השינה מקידושין בצורה זו. ואף על פי, he writes, אף על פי שהקהל התנו בפירוש שלא יהיו הקידושין והפקירו ממנו, אפילו הוכי יש להחמיר לעניין מעשה. So the Ramah seems to come down on the side of the Maharit and the other on the Duran family and the others who don't allow Hafka'at Kiddushin. Excuse me?
What do you mean?
If the community declares that any marriage that was taken place not according to their regulations is null and void, is that marriage valid or is it not valid? That's the whole problem we've been discussing for the last several weeks. The issue is, does the community have the right to nullify annul marriage? And here the Ramah seems to be coming down on the negative side of that question. If we look at the Gaon, on this issue, Siman and Zion, I enlarged the Gaon so it should be a little legible. אף על פי וכולי, רצוני לומר, יש לדמות למה שכתב ביבנות צדק הרבייס, ושמה מן עמד המקדש את ספר, והפקינו רבנון לקידושין מיני, ושם קופיות, והוא עשה שלא כהוגן את ספר, והיה עם משהו שם. מכל מקום צריך עיון למעשה. בעיין תעשות דבר המסגולתי. In other words, whereas the Ramah seems to here come down negatively on this side, the Vilna Gaon, who represented the culmination of the Ashkenazic tradition on this matter is not so sure of this question as the Ramah is. In fact, it seems to me that the Ramah himself, in another place, which Freiman doesn't cite, also seems to have a rather different opinion. It's not on this particular topic, but here is the Ramah in the Dalkei Moshe. Let's take a look at this. Let's start from the beginning, just to get the context here. The Kol Isha Shenichdasha Machmat Shmadot Omedet B'Inuyim V'Sigufim Kedei L'Hamit Muterach L'Ba'ala Yisrael Avalava Kohen Tzarich Iyun L'Hatira. This is a woman who was taken into captivity by the Christians. And there's an issue of whether there was rape or seduction or what have you. ואם הם יראו מחמת אונס ומיד שיכולה לברוח בלחם מותרת לישראל בעלה ואסורה לכהן. אבל הייתה יכולה לברוח ולא ברוכה, נראה אפילו לבעלה ישראל אסורה. Remember, we discussed this in Shia several years ago, as what constitutes onus as far as sexual consent is concerned. Omnam, he says, b'gzerat oistrat, in the famous Vienna gzerot at the beginning of the 15th century, hutru al pigdolim gam kein leva'alehem v'afilu l'kohanim. That in that circumstance, the rabbinical authorities allowed the women to return to their husbands. Even to Kohanim. V'efshar nitnu hani nashi amtolol l'divrehem v'ayin sham ke'erich v'li nireh. How is this possible, he says? The Epshal, possibly, Hagdolim Shehitiru, the rabbinical authorities that allowed these women to return to their husbands, love Medina. It's not because that according to law they should be allowed. Ela Mishum Tzorech Sha'a. They made an exception to the rule, in this case. They gave an emergency ruling. Shara'u Sheyes Chash V'Shalom L'Chush La'atir L'Nashim. Since they were worried that if a similar event would occur future, women would not stand the test of temptation, because in any event they would say, I don't want to return to my husband. Therefore, if you don't let these women return to their husbands, this will affect the behavior in the future. And if you're going to ask what power do the rabbis have to be made kill in a question like this, that they had, since they had the right to revoke, annul the original kedushin, then v'havi kipnuyot, they could declare that these women were single married at the time of whatever may have happened or may not have happened. He doesn't go that far, but he points out, so you see that in a really live issue like what was happening with the captured Jewish women, Rama is definitely approving of the principle of hafka'at kibushin. Okay. So that's the summary of what Freiman calls the second period, which was a period, as I said, of very active innovation in all branches of the halacha.
Can we infer, as a permissive, it's possible that you can deal that way with any law?
With marriage law in particular, yes.
Well, most any halachic deraisa law.
Well, that's going a little bit too far, but here in a situation like this, narrowing it down to issues of legislation concerning marriages, the indication from this is that if there are drastic changes, then which necessitate drastic accommodations of the Jewish marriage law, the rabbanim are empowered to actually act.
What constitutes an exigency? You can always claim that there's a...
Judgment call.
Assimilate.
Saw, for example, that the Rush felt that the Gaonim allowed the woman to institute an action of divorce because he felt the Rush's interpretation was that if the women's rights in the Jewish community were sufficiently poor in comparison to the non-Jewish community, then the women would just simply
drop out.
So that therefore, that's an example of exactly the type of thing that you're mentioning. Who makes that call, obviously, has to be the rabbinical authorities in the period. Okay. Now, I'm going to skip over the details of the next period, which are from 1648 until the end of the 18th century. We'll just read Freiman's summary rather than going into detail, because I want to have enough time this week and next to get into the interesting modern period. So, אחרי תקופה של התעוררות ותסיסה מימי גירוש ספרד על זרת פח, בכל מרכזי היהדות, באה בסוף המאה הלזיין תקופה של ייצור ודיבור. There was a period of, after all of this innovation in the halacha, during this period from about 1500 to 1648, in the second half of the 17th century, there was a period of consolidation. וכתוצאה מזה ירידה ניכרת ביצירה המשפטית, and therefore a marked drop in legal creativity. חכמי דורות האחרונים הלכו דרכים הכבושות של קודמיהם, וכמעט שלא נעשו ניסיונות חדשים להתגבר על התקלות שהוסיפו להטריד את בתי המלך והמדינות. בין האשכנזים עשו חיזוק נוסף לפיקוח הרב המקומי, מרד האטווה, על סדר קדושין ונישואין, הנהיגו את התורת הקדושין ובכתב התורת הקדושין מטעם הרב הגליל, the local rabbi had to be certified by the district rabbi. יש הנהיגו חקירה קודמת על מצב האישי של הזרים הבאים להתחתן באיראן, to investigate someone who came from out of town to determine his marital status. They prevented girls being married at a very, very tender age. רק במקומות מועטים ראו לחזק את התקנותיהם והפקעת קידושים. קורפוס, פרדיון, אביניון, דמאסקס, קלקטה, etc. מצד העיוני דנו חכמי דור בשאלה אם מובילה תקנת הפקעה במקומות שקיבלו עליהם רק מורן הבית יוסף, ונשארו הדעות מחולקות. כן נמצאו גם בין חכמי האשכנזים שהיו מפקקים בחומרת הרמה בדבר כוח הציבור להפקיע קידושים. אולם רוב רובם של האחרונים לא השתמשו בתקנת הקידושים אלא כדי להוסיף ספקות או שחרי אותו, etc. So in general, nothing really much happened during this period of 150 years. Now let's turn the page and let's begin to see the novel. So כל זמן שעמי אירופה החזיקו בצביון הדתי של סדר הנישואין, so long as the marriage in all the European countries was a religious event. Remember, up until this period of time, that is up until the middle of the 18th century, all marriage, I'm talking about non-Jewish marriage, was in the hands of the church, just as inheritance was in the hands of the church. So certain areas of law which were considered to belong to the church. So as long as this happened, גם נהגו גם הקיבוצים היהודים מהאוטונומיה ולא בשטח זה. There was complete autonomy in the Jewish community. וכל התפתחות בדיני הקידושים והנישואים, כפי שתיארנו, עליה הלא לפי תנאי החיים בפנים למחנה ישראל. בסוף המאה ה-י"ח, בא בארצות המערב המפנה היסודי ביחסי המדינה אל המשפט הדתי ואל השיפוט הדתי. At the middle of the, towards the end of the 18th century, there was a drastic turning away from canonical law.
By the church?
Well, the governments did no longer recognize the church authorities over various domains of private law.
Like marriage.
For instance, אחת, like marriage, אחת הוציאו מדינות המערב את דיני האישות במשפחה מתחום הדת והכנסייה והכניסו בגדר התחיקה הממשלתית החילונית. One by one, the nations of Europe removed the marriage from the authority of the church and passed civil legislation to control marriage. החלה הסקולריזציה של דיני אישות. בד בבד עם תהליך זה גם בא חיסול האוטונומיה היהודית בארצות המערב. At the same time, the internal autonomy of the Jewish communities began to be dismembered. חוקי המדינה שבוטלו גם היהודים פגעו קשה בדת ישראל, וגופי תורה על קדושת המשפחה הישראלית שעליה מסרה האומה את נפשה במשך כל ימי קיומה. So the intrusion of the laws of these varying nations into the Jewish marriage law attacked one of the principal key ingredients which Jews fought all along. חכמי הדור הועמדו בפני בעיות חדשות שדרשו את תיקונן על פי דיני ישראל. אך התכופפות השלטון הפנימי של הקהילות, the general weakening of the Jewish communities, נטילת כוח הכפייה מבית דיני ותמונת המשמעת הפנימית בין היהודים בארצות החופש והדבור ובני האמנציפציה, the collapse of the Jewish communities, the removal of any enforcement powers from the Jewish courts, and the collapse of internal discipline in the Jewish community, all made this job much more difficult. Hagzeira niftacha mi-Austria. Rabat ha-Ochlusin ha-Yehudim v'alcha v'ikipa v'meshach ha-Meyad Yishasa et Rov ha-Mdinot Europa ha-Amar ha-Tikona v'chein et Tchumei ha-Hashpa'a sh'al-Marantzot ha-Amar v'Achot ha-Atzkoni. So here's where the story begins. V'shnat Tuf Peivas in 1726 Hitila ha-Malkut ha-Gbalot ha-Gzariot ha-Nisuei Yehudim v'Moravia. In Moravia, the laws, which were then later reinforced by Maria Theresa, declared that in all Jewish families, only the firstborn male could marry. No Jewish child beyond the firstborn could marry. Okay? So therefore, of course, the Jews didn't obey this law, but they had to find some way of hiding in the wedding. I mean, they even became a phrase, the Mera Shechupa, that is, the Moravian marriage, which was some underground marriage which was taking place in order that its very existence be hidden by the authorities. And of course, it was then very complicated where that couple lived, because you had to have a residence permit, and how did they get to be married if they're applying for a residence permit. I mean, all of Jewish life was grossly disrupted.
You could leave the area.
To go where?
To some place where they didn't have such a law.
Where is that? How did you go there? How did you get there? Do you have a passport? I mean, it wasn't all that easy to move around. And the other area also required a residence permit to live in. It was just not that easy. Okay. And in fact, what happened was that with the partition of Poland, which would have brought a huge chunk of what was formerly Poland, Galicia, which was formerly part of Poland, then became part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Jews there went into a state of panic because they were afraid that this law would then be extended to Galicia, to Poland, and people began to marry off their children at extremely young ages.
What do you consider extremely young ages?
10, 11, 12, okay. 5, 6, 7, right? And not that young, but I mean, the situation then raised itself as to what was the status of, or the validity of this arrangement. Did the young couple, when they grew up together and reached the ripe old age of 13 and 12, did they have to perform kiddushin all over again, or what? To give you an illustration, Freiman quotes here, let's read it, the tshuva on the middle of the page, from the note of the Yehuda on the next page. Issue of whether or not these marriages have to be re-performed. Rav Yecheskel Lander katav al dvar minhagei medinot Poland b'nisuyei habanim kodim shena asu bar mitzvah. On the problem of marriage for children who had not yet become bar mitzvah. B'imei niurai haya zeh minhag pashut. When I was a child, it was a common custom shebishnat yigimul asu nisuyei.
This is
the note of Yehuda. This is the note of Yehuda writing in a tshuva. So this was written sometime towards the last third of the 18th century. He was the chief rabbi in Prague. And he's reporting that in his youth, the custom was that the boys would get married in their 13th year. In other words, before bar mitzvah. Before they reached the age of 13, in their 13th year. Ume'olam lo shamanu, ume'olam lo, this is on page Shin Yud Aleph. Ume'olam lo shamanu shala'acha ha-chatuna yekadesh shenit, oi sheyasu shum roshem lekidushim chadashim. I never heard, well, of course, this is a practice that runs completely counter to the Gemara, but he says that when I was a child, the custom was that all boys would be married in their 13th year. That is, they would have bar mitzvah after the wedding.
Meaning after. Okay. Why didn't you have the bar mitzvah first and then the wedding?
Because they weren't 13 yet. They'll have the bar mitzvah when they reach 13, but the wedding was taking place prior to the bar mitzvah. And he says that in none of these cases that he knew did the boy and the girl go through a second wedding when they reached the age of majority. V'achi ha-gadol, ha-rav morev of Yosef Zal, haya chatunato im bat ha-gon ha-bitzvotishin ha-ostraha, v'chodesh shvat, chatzi chodesh, So he was married in Shvat, and his bar mitzvah was only later in Adar. Okay? Bahagom Ren Rav Yukul Asah Hatunat Bino Gisi, my brother in law, Hagom Ren Nanis Zal, Gamken Kodem Habar Mitzvah. Umi Olam Lo Allah Alei Bakadesh Shenit. Hachi Chas Vishalom Kol Elu Shagu. Can we say that all of these people erred? And they lived their whole life in a state of sin, that's unimaginable. Therefore, he's reporting from his practice in his youth that children who are married in their 13th year, then for some reason or other, which he doesn't explain to us what the basis of this is, just for the fact that that was the practice, are considered married. Ela vaday shekevan shalmanat kein nasum liyishael nehem kol yimehem harayu keilu pirshu sheyachulu mishi yagdil. Umashin et chadesh haminhag v'yimehem l'kadesh sheinit, the custom, your custom in Poland to perform kiddushin a second time, l'fi umdan da'ati, my guess is, l'fi shezeh einam, l'fi shezeh ezeh shanim shehaya shem ra'ash shelo yecheirut la'asot nisuyin. Since there was a panic that they would not be allowed to marry, that they would marry children at the age of 6 or 7, so if the young boy is married close to Bar Mitzvah, say in his 12th or 13th year, then the understanding is, says the another Yehuda, that the intention is that this marriage will become officially legal when they reach the age of majority and they don't have to perform another ceremony. But if you're talking about a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, then maybe there's room to have a custom of marrying them a second time around. So this gives you an indication of the state of panic that the Jewish community is. I should point out that throughout the 19th century, the notion of being married at the age of 13 or thereabouts was quite common. I mean, Rav Yitzchak Yochanan was married to his wife when he was age 13. The Mitziv, I believe, was. Rav Yisrael Leib Diskin. All of the general custom in was after Bar Mitzvah, but not much after Bar Mitzvah. So in another Yehuda's case, his brother-in-law or whoever it was had the wedding first and the Bar Mitzvah a month later, maybe in Russia. A half century later, they had the bar mitzvah first and the wedding a month later. But these two events were.
When they said, "Today I am a man," was not
something. Well, what is this statement that the intent is that should affect the action?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea what he's talking about. But he's reporting on an actual. So he's not making the story up, right? I mean, what he's reporting to you is the actual state of marriages in Bohemia and Moravia at that time. And he's saying that we used to get married when we were only 12 years old. But you guys in Poland, when you're marrying at age 6 or 7, well, maybe then you should redo it. Okay. And you have the same state of panic, Fryman reports, when the Tsar Nikolai tried to introduce a law in 1835 that there should be a minimal age of 18 years for a wedding. So once again, 18 for the man and 17 for the girl. And this also sent the Jews into a state of panic, and you had a repetition of the people marrying off their children at an extremely young age, so that they shouldn't.
Why would Jews get upset that you had to wait 5 or 6 years?
All right, you don't want to be unmarried at the extreme old age of 18. I mean, but and especially if you don't have, there's a chance that they may change the law.
You can't
get married until 25, or maybe until 30, or maybe like in Bohemia that you couldn't get married at all if you weren't the firstborn.
The lifespan was different.
I don't know that that was the problem, but the problem was that the people used to just get married early. Okay. Now we come to the first serious event on the next page. These next 4 or 5 pages are going to be very slowly because they contain a bulk of very important information. המכה הקשה הראשונה שהוכתה כנסת ישראל באירופה בשטח דיני האישות והנישואין הייתה הרפורמה היוסיפנית, the Emperor Joseph, שביטלה את האוטונומיה המשפטית של יהודי אוסטריה והטילה עליהם את חוקי המדינה גם בעניין האישות והמדינה. He eliminated the internal autonomy of the Jewish communities and made the Jews, for the first time, subject to Austrian law, even as far as private law is concerned, even as far as marriage law is concerned. ביום 16 בינואר 1783, הוציא הקיסר יוסף השני חוק הנישואין כללי לכל בני המדינה, Eheh Patent. Eheh means marriage in German, Eheh Patent means the marriage law. חוק זה הסדיר לראשונה את כל דיני הנישואין מטעם המדינה בדרך דחיקה חילונית. This is the first time that we had a civil marriage law in maybe over a thousand years since the time that the church took over in Europe. Chok ze has haseda hamishpati hachadash shetbases kulo al nimusei hakneisiya hakatolit shehashpata hayta gdola mimdina katolit zu. But the actual structure of these so-called secular laws were based on the Catholic customs. Etzem sigur tekas and usim nishal bidei kohanei hadat. The actual performance of the marriage was left to the priests. Chok memshalti zeh utal gam al yehudei hamdina, v'chayim v'kach umdu gam al yehudim tachat harat ha-mishpat ha-kohanei. Dugmat ha-achvazot ha-kdomot l'nisuin ha-kdusi, ha-b'knesiya. Just like you had the law of bans, where you had to announce, you know, for 3 weeks prior in the church, a couple was getting married, this had to be announced publicly for some period of time prior to the marriage. Hunhaga gam l'gabei yehudim chovat ha-hazkara ha-mshuleshet b'shalot shabbatot b'beit ha-knesset. Uvemkom gab ha-kumar ha-musmach shel ha-tridentium nitmane mikoch ha-chol karav ha-mukomi ha-morat tzedek l'mesadek l'ishim musmach mitam ha-mdina. Chotim miben chavdalet shana, any people under 24 years of age, sheyos kukim lefi chok laskamat avihem o vaptoseihem lenisuin. They have to have the approval of their father or their guardian in order to get married. Hachok hitil al Yehudim gam isurei arayot nosafim al pi ha-mishpat ha-kanoni. They also added to the Jewish laws of incest of various relations that weren't prohibited according to Jewish law. Kigon bat achoto uvat achiv. Etzem ha-tikunim ha-eile lo haya ulay ma'urim itnagyut mubura mitzal ha-yudim. So far, the laws that we recounted don't seem too oppressive. Lulei se'if katlani echad she'echil et ha-sanktiyot ha-mishpatut l'kizuk ha-chok kulo le'mao, except for one clause, which said, kol nisuim she'sugru she'lo k'chok ha-mimshalti harein heim b'delim u'mutalim. Any marriage which was not performed according to the civil laws of Austria are null and void. Yatsa ifo, shemi shekidesh isha, afilu b'chupa b'kidushim gemurim kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, ela shelo kadmu l'nisuim shalosh ha'achvazot ha-dushot l'pi ha-chok. If a Jewish man married a Jewish woman but without the announcement, o shekidesh shelo b'shtatkuto shel ha-rav ha-mukomi ha-musmach, or the marriage took place without the official rabbi, או שנשא אישה בלי הסכמת האב או האפוטרופוס, או שנשא אחת אסורות עליו לפי החוק הממשלתי, אף שלפי ידי מי הקדושים תופסים והאישה אישת איש גמורה, נישואיו היו נטולי תוקף חוקי והאישה נחשבת לפנויה בעיני הערכאות. As far as the Austrian civil courts were concerned, this woman, who according to Jewish law was thoroughly married, was not considered married. זירה זו חוללה סערה בקרב האוכלוסייה היהודית, המשורשת בדת ומסורת, ומחלותיהם הנמרצות של יהודי המדינה שראו בגזירה זו משום התנגשות בציפור נפשם, they regarded this as a threat to their very existence, הניעו את הקיסר לבקש מהרב יחזקאל לנדאו בפראג בעלו ליהודה שיחווה דעתו על החוק החדש עד כמה הוא פוגע בדת משה בישראל. So the emperor turned to the note of Yehuda to write an opinion as to what negative effects this law might have on Jewish custom and law. בחוות דעתו המפורטת, בשנת תקנ"ה, הקדים הרב סקירה כללית על יסודי דיני הלכות בישראל. We know that Yehuda first wrote a general introduction to Jewish marriage law. והביאה הערכה חיובית לעצם תיקוני החוק מבחינה ציבורית, and voiced, politically correct, voiced the approval of most of the clauses. אולם בהערותיו לסעים השונים הסביר המחבר שלפי דיני ישראל אינו נוצלים מפחלים אם הבא אדם מקילה שלא כחוק הממשלתי. He explained that according to Jewish law, this marriage is valid even if the marriage did not fulfill the letters, the requirements of the Austrian law. בקידושים תופסים ומצליחים גט פטורים כאשר כדת משה בישראל. So this book that he wrote was called Das Mosaic Talmudic Shaere, Jewish Talmudic, Mosaic Talmudic Law. So, on the basis of this recommendation, the governmental committee recommended some changes in the marriage law to the emperor, but he declined to accept them. So the efforts of the Noda Behuda did not have any noticeable positive effect. Now we come to the first real case. This took place in Trieste in 1796. But Yechida shel gvir echad, the sole daughter of a very wealthy man, Bogeret, an adult daughter, mitkatsho mibachur ani, lefnei shenei eidim kidushin gmurim, neged ratzon aviyah nahara. She married a poor man, without her father's, against her father's wishes. Chacham hakahal, Rabbi Chor Nachman Ashkenazi, panam she'ela el Rabbi Elezer Flekulis, baal tshuva miyahava v'prag, ma esef, what should I do in a case like this? Ki lefi chok ha-kezar yuvum hodo, according to Austrian law, ha-kidushim tzuchim liyot al-yidei harav mi-ha-kehila, the wedding must be performed by the local official rabbi, ve-shi-ichuzu b'batei ha-knisot shlosha pamim kodem ha-kidushim, kmo shi-yadu agam l-ma'alato. As you know, the Austrian law requires pronouncement of the banns for 3 weeks prior to the wedding. Alkein b'matotem enei demar sheyatzeni ma lasot. Please advise me what to do. Im ha'edim hem apsulim, nirah l'niyadati she'en ha'kidushin kidushim, v'im ha'edim nintzug sherim v'sha'elat ha'kesor, yuzor omnom she'en kidushim v'shvil shenasu shelo kibzono, v'alkein yachrichenu lasot get la'uto. If we get a ruling from the emperor that this is an invalid wedding and that we're going to try to force the groom to divorce his wife, ליבי יחיל בקיבי לתת זה כזה, כשקדומה לי שהוא גט מרושע, ולא ידע מה לעשות. This, if this, a get delivered under these circumstances, where it's been threatened by the emperor to deliver this get, all else would not have any legal validity, what should I do? That was the question.
What just have to have a pseudo marriage again?
What?
Well, the rotten community. Why didn't it just...
Her father doesn't want.
I understood the father doesn't want. So why was he phrased that way?
Looking for an out.
What's prompting him to ask the question?
What do you mean, what's prompting him to ask the question?
If he needs a good...
This couple is not married according to Austrian law. They are married according to Jewish law. The father wants to...
But if the Austrian authorities were pushing the couple, then you can understand, but it's apparently not the case for the question. And he's obviously reluctant to force a get on the couple in this circumstance.
Okay. So that was the response of the Tshuva Miyava. Narot nefleti. Mazu she'ela. What kind of a question is this? Akarei shehi gdola. She's an adult. V'kidsha atzma l'rotzona kidushin gnurim v'tabat l'fnei shnei eidin. This is a perfectly willing, voluntary wedding before two witnesses. Late din tzarich poshesh. There should be no hesitation. Shakidushin kidushin gemurim shivuyim v'kayimim. Uma shekatav malat kvot torato lefi chok ha-mahalchut yirum hodo ha-kidushim einam tosim ve'in achshim l'klom. Has ki lo lahaskir shepkudat ha-melech hi shetiyeh torat Hashem b'teila. That a ruling of the Emperor Yosef is going to strike out the Torah. ולהתיר הראיות בפרסי, אשר על פי תורה היה חייב מיתה עליהם, ובכלל הראיות בעל יבוא. החכם אמר, ירא את השם בני והוא מלך כבד, etc. ונאמר, אני מפני מלך שמור, etc. ואמרינו רבינו זל, אני נכון לשמוע פי מלכות אמות העולם, בלבד שלא יעבירו לי על השבוע שנתשפעתי למקום ואוכלו לשמוע מצוותו. וחנניה, מישאל ויעזריה אמרו, לא חששין, לא חששין אנחנו, על דנה פתגן ולפרוך, etc. אמת ויציב ונכון לא עלה לב מלך ארץ, אני כמה דורות להשבית מצווה אחת מן המצוות, אלא להעביר חלילה מעל חוקי רצונם, איפכה מספר בו, כולם על יחקי כסד, מחזיקי דת כל עם בעם, ומה שנאמר בפקודי הקיסר יום העולה, כל קורפולציון, every wedding, צריך להיות על ידי רב הקהילה, היינו החופה באופן שתהיה נשואה, דבר זה צריך להיות דווקא על ידי הרב מועצדת, כלומר, קידושים לוחות בלי חופה של בן הרוסה היא לא נשואה, בזה לא קמאי. I mean, that's a strange interpretation, a technical evasion of the actual ruling, but the thrust of this thing is exactly what you said. Here's an adult woman from her own free will married an adult man. Why should you be out pushing the position of the emperor? Okay. And then he advised them that maybe you can persuade the man to give a get if the father is so strongly against the wedding. But that obviously doesn't deal with the essence of the question, namely that the rabbi had a rich father on his hands who wanted to intervene. Now we turn to a few years later on the next page. So we're now in the middle of the Napoleonic Wars. Bishnat Tavkov Samachdali, Pana Harav Avram Eliezer HaLevi Rabba Shal Triest El Kama Migdolei Hador V'Sheila Ikonit V'Bar Chol Kanisulin Ostri. He raised an important basic question. Zeh L'Shan HaSheila. Zeh Yamim Karov L'Yud Chet Shanim Allah B'Dat Melech HaAretz HaWazul L'Chadesh L'Sader L'Takem Mishpatim V'Torot Ein Dava HaNogei L'Mamon Bein Dava HaNogei L'Guf Gam Dinei Gitin V'Kidushin HaRayot V'Shnilot. The emperor saw fit to intervene in these various legal categories. Kasher mishpat katur v'kodesi, as is written in the Kodesh.